Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. Hello again, fellow basement dwellers. This is your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, welcoming you into another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds is, of course, brought to you by the ChairShot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And I am joined by a full cadre of bandwagoners today. That's right. We have the lawyer, my good friend, co-host in most everything I do, David Ungar, the scientist himself, DPP, master of the Legos, and executive vice president, producer, man about town, loves to speak without his microphone up so he can say how he truly feels about whatever's going on the show, Mr. Saturday Night, EC Dunny, also here today. Gentlemen, how doing? Don't everybody talk at once.
Somebody speak. Jeez, go ahead, DP.
Very, very distracted today. I got some new Legos that are ready for me. So, you know, we're adding to the modular city that is in the Thunderdome here. EC Tunney got a good look at it yesterday, too.
Yeah. True story. True story. Very nice. There's room to expand now. There's room to expand. Things have been shifted. So
DP strikes me as a good city manager.
The sickness is growing.
Yeah. Let's just say it's slowly going to take over the rest of the Thunderdome down here. It's expanded.
See, now, again, I want to go back to a show we had a month ago where we talked about slowing down, sir. Are you okay?
Yes, we did.
Do you need to speak? Do we need to speak to someone?
Can I tell you what? See, after we record this show, he's going to go spend four figures easily on Lego.
It's at least half. It's at least 500, not 600. Dang. It's at least 600 already by the two modulars that I'm getting.
If you find three things that I need, if we've over 1,000.
See, here's the problem I have is I live with the Dillinator, my significant other, my other half. And she's enabling. She's not telling me to stop. It was her idea.
You're going to put this on your partner?
It was her idea to move the city.
There's likely something
outside
she wants.
Of the Lego room.
There's got to be something she wants.
Dave,
I haven't figured it out yet.
Sorry. I'll ask her.
What are we talking about? DP's Lego budget?
We're talking... Yeah,
like
anytime
your significant other is enabling you in something that they probably shouldn't and likely aren't actually enabling you in, they're likely just buttering you up for something that they want, right?
Kind of like me and the whole Disney thing.
My wife tolerates my golfism because she knows I'm paying for her Disney pass. So she's like,
Well, plus that she can go to Disney while you golf.
It's actually not a bad deal.
Especially with as often as you all go to Disney.
Funny,
how's the Lego helmet / head collection going?
We need three. That's all we need.
What's this business?
Well, DP and I basically, like, we have a joint effort on everything. I got a lot of... I mean, if you were a normal Lego collector, one would say, I have a lot. But he's not. So, TIE Fighter helmet, Stormtrooper helmet, Iron Man helmet. Otherwise, everything that's been out and is out and came out is in our possession.
Oh, well, good for you. I have none of that.
You do?
Your kid has
a couple helmets, doesn't he?
He has two. Yep.
All right. Okay.
I have like a Death Trooper helmet.
Okay. Maybe we'll be on the lookout for some good deals on helmets. Maybe we'll,
Maybe the DWI podcast will
gift the Lil O'Dowd a helmet one of these days. It'll just show up.
Wow.
There you go.
Very nice. Very nice.
Don't tell him. Maybe it'll happen.
We got quite a show in front of us. We're in the midst of summer. We're barreling our way towards a couple of major events. D23 is not too far away. Disney's big. What is that, August, Dave? D23 in August?
I believe so. I'll double check for you.
And San Diego Comic-Con, now we got to pay attention. Fucking Marvel's back, so can't not follow Hall H. That's July 25th through the 28th, the same weekend that one Merc with a Mouth is making a movie of Wolverine.
9th through the 11th of August.
Yeah, so we got a little bit of time until we get to kind of the big Christmas time for nerds, which is convention season. And convention season is always exciting. So until then... I guess we'll have to settle with continuing our coverage of The Boys, season 4, episode 6. We'll keep making visits to the trailer park. We're going to talk about why November 22nd could be a big day for theater goers. Say goodbye to some shows that we never knew. And then we're going to, you know, we're going to continue to have some therapy time with DC guys. Because I feel like, but Dave, here's what's funny. I said that, and your camera actually got darker. And, like, the lighting in your camera space got darker. So, yeah. And then we'll finish up the show with my favorite topic, a shit ton of Marvel news. Quite a little plan today. And we'll start it all off with The Boys, season 4, episode 6. My God, my God, poor Huey. Like, on so many levels, all right? Like, his dad has just died, and he's like, I'm good to go back to work. I'm okay. And he agrees to go undercover under the guise of, what was his name? Webmaster?
Web Weaver?
Spider Weaver?
Web Weaver.
That's what it was, where he fires webs out of a spinner right above his ass.
Of course, because it's always got
to
be.
Yes. His identity is stolen because he has been invited to a party being hosted by Tech something or other. Tech Night. This is going to be a great episode where if you're drinking and playing the Patrick O'Dowd Forgets Drinking Game, you're going to be washed by the end of this segment. Maybe not even halfway through this segment.
That's right.
But yeah, so Mother's Milk is leading to try and infiltrate and bug. What was his name?
Tech Night.
Tech.
Wow.
Drake. Did someone happen to take an ice pick and drive it into your brain before the show? Or
I was busy eating some chocolate cake before the show. No.
Oh, okay.
That would not be good for you.
Did it happen to be white ass German cake?
No, it's not white ass.
German chocolate, right? Wasn't it German chocolate?
No, it's not German chocolate. But anyway, so in order to infiltrate and bug Tech Knight's mansion, they are trying to infiltrate this party that is being hosted by Tech Knight with a bunch of movers and shakers within the what we learn is the alt-right movement, basically, for The Boys, along with the Seven being there as part of this group to try and make this happen. And as you are following Huey, who comes in Web Weaver's costume, he's, you know, greeted by people sort of uncomfortably until Tech Knight sees him, takes him on a tour down into his special dungeon where, oh boy, oh Huey. Huey finds himself way in over his head as we learn that Tech Knight very much into BDSM. We find that Ashley has moved on from her previous relationship as she comes down and really desecrates poor Huey, just desecrates the guy. Before, of course, everything goes to shit when everything when gets found out and that hot mess. So there's that. We get the big reveal that Butcher hasn't been talking to anybody. They've all been in his head, a la Fight Club. And that the only way that this virus can take out Homelander is if it goes airborne and is highly communicable to all people with Compound V in their blood or in their genetic makeup, therefore killing all soups, even the quote unquote good ones. Goodbye, Starlight. Goodbye, kid. I can't remember his name. Goodbye, A-Train. All of them. Ryan. Yeah, fuck that guy. Sorry, that was me.
Just a kid, Pat.
So that was a mess. I'm sorry. I don't have it together. It's 9,000 degrees outside, and I mowed my lawn. I'm tired. I'm worn out.
Yeah. Tell me
about
it.
Just did one podcast.
You know,
I don't feel bad about your 116 degree. You did this to yourself.
Okay. Good thing to cheer yourself up if you have to mow the lawn in really hot weather is weigh yourself before and after. You'll weigh a lot less after.
Dude, That's true. The shirt.
I do it all the time.
Is, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, take a shit too if you can right after. Like, that's another.
Right. Hey, I'll be right back.
All right.
Mother's Milk suffers a panic attack when everything goes haywire after shooting Sister Sage in the head, but of course didn't kill her because her brain grows so fast that you basically can't kill her that way. Gotta aim for the chest. She's the opposite of Thanos. You don't want to aim for the head.
Well, I mean,
let's go for the neck, maybe.
Yeah, decapitation right, might work.
Yeah, do that.
Right. But we learned that he's suffering from panic attacks. We learned that Frenchie doesn't want to be visited by anybody as he lives with guilt, even though Kumiko keeps trying to visit him. So I think that'll shift shortly when we get to the next episode. And just everything's bad. And we get Homelander's breastfeeding again. Yay!
By somebody who's not even pregnant.
There's a lot just of a lot just of hormones.
Yeah, a nice
hormones. A lot of hormones.
A chemical cocktail of hormones, and it only enlarges my heart a little.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So I love when he's like, "I'm not sexually attracted to you," and she's like, "This isn't about sex." Like,
about control.
We know everybody's fucked up on this show. This episode was just a stark reminder of how fucked up every single. Like, Huey is the most normal character. And finally, he's like, "I'm broken. Like, I'm so not okay." At least he said it, you know?
I said last week, literally, everybody who's a soup or has taken Gen V is crazy.
I mean, it pretty much came everybody. To me. We guys, also got the weird just, side story.
It's just the boys being so, boys.
My daughter, she messages me, I think, like 4th of July. She goes, "Have you watched the episode yet?" I'm like, "No, not yet. It just came out." She goes, "Watch it." She goes, "It's like Herogasm on steroids." I'm like, "That's really disturbing." And
I don't know about that. I don't know.
I don't necessarily agree. It's fucked up in multiple
levels.
It's
a great episode.
Well, I will say this. This is where, when I told you guys, watch Gen V, this episode really hammered home. This is why you needed to watch it, because you learn about Tech Knight and Gen V and what a fucking freak show that he actually. So when Huey ends up in his sex dungeon, I'm like, "Oh, this is going to end bad with Tech's
hey, Dave.
Fetish." Yes.
Patrick and I learned about Tech Knight pretty quick, actually.
Yeah, it was.
You did, but you DP, you saw Gen V, right?
I don't know. So, yeah. I don't know that I really I don't know if I need to go back and get the background, though. Like, I think I'm good.
Yes and no.
Considering that he's dead.
Yeah, well, he's dead.
So. Yeah, I mean, it seems like things are fine now. What's the point?
Don't matter now.
No, but I think the big thing was making the soup virus airborne, and DP will know this, that's what Dean Shetty wanted. She wanted to eliminate all the soups in Gen V. So this is actually, even though she's dead too, spoiler, this was her end game, was to make the virus airborne and maximize the communicability of it to eliminate all soups. Indiscriminately, because she hated them all. So this, in a really roundabout way, where Butcher's thinking of going, is her end goal on this thing. So it's a weird episode, but it's excellent, like Tunney says. One of the things I wanted to run by you guys, because we were reading an article about it, talking about how so much of what Tech Knight did was analogous to Batman. Like, they're almost drawing an allegory between Tech Knight and Batman. And at first I was offended by the mere suggestion that this freak show was remotely close to Batman. But then you think about it. Batcave, Butler cleaning up all of his messes, all these gadgets and weird things down in the dungeon. It's like, yeah, I can kind of see that.
Secret elevator behind secret the bookcase.
When the books open it up, I mean, there's a lot to be said. So, of course, Batman's not the freak show that
the sidekick.
He wanted the sidekick.
The new sidekick.
I want to know who the dude in the red was.
That's what I want to know.
It's probably Jason Todd.
They coming back?
Nightwing or something.
But boy, he certainly knew how to get to what we needed to get to make him squeal.
If I ever get free, ..
Between that and the lead housekeeper exacting the final revenge, choking that dude out. I mean, like, I'll make it look like an accident. Good stuff. A-Train doing the right thing, but man, I'm not feeling good about his chances of surviving the season.
Oh, no.
There's no way. There's no way he can make it out of this. Homelander's going to destroy him as soon as they find out.
Those threads are coming undone, and that rope, or the tension is. How about...
Just when I start, like, I know he's not redeemable, but man, I was hoping. No, fingers crossed. I believed it.
So Victoria Newman, right? The head popper? How about after Brainiac gets shot in the head and is over there eating chocolate cake and talking like a 6-year-old, stepping up and swaying all these billionaires and showing them. And it was probably the best possible scenario for them because she's the one that's going to be in charge. And now they actually trust that she can put her foot on the throat of what they need to accomplish to stay billionaires. That's all they fucking care about.
Buying Homelander's
they have the power.
Bullshit until she stepped up and you're saying.
Homelander's trying to feed them the garbage that they feed the everyday person, right? And they understood that we're going to get that at first, but the old lady was like, listen, pal, tell us what we want to hear. Otherwise, we're fucking out.
And you see, he stumbles around on the words because he can't go into the details. He just knows they were taken over. That's all he cares about.
Yeah, it's but this is what I want.
Anything else? Right. Yeah, great. And you see that him fumbling around and, you know, he's obviously going to lose his shit over that because he can't be the one in control. So, that's going to come to a head soon.
Funniest part of the episode before Victoria goes over to Brainiac and is confides together and they do the tequila shots. She's listening to the main guy of the billionaires and you see her pop her own head. And then it goes back to her talking and she's like, God, I wish I could just pop my own head right now. And I was like, that was so fucking clever because they don't do that. They've never done that before. That was awesome.
Right. The thing that I really appreciated about that, too, is that the senator she's talking to, like using things that an actual senator said in real life. Like
that was funny.
That's staggering. That this isn't that far from fiction or from the real world. Legit. It's not that fictional.
It's easy
women can just hold writers
on that part of the storyline. Easy game.
Women can just hold that stuff in.
I'm wondering as we head towards the end of this season, because we only got two episodes left, right?
Right.
Do we need to bring something back? Do we need to bring a segment back to the show?
Who among you still fears death?
What's wrong with you? I say you, he did.
You will die alone. A dead meat.
And all that I am is dead already.
She said that every living creature on Earth dies alone.
I've been dead once already.
Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
Death is a natural part of life.
Death comes for us all, Rokusaki.
Death is but a door. Time is but a window. I'll be back.
I don't understand why people have to die. Wee, wee, wee.
Tony is still salty.
He still loves
over
him.
The little O'Dowd picking the victor. Of the three options for the Deadpool, the return of the bandwagon nerds Deadpool.
The statute of limitations is run, Tony. Get over it. Come on now.
Right. It's not like I still have some of the other ones, too. I have this one.
Die alone.
Like I have this one.
If you could die.
A good death is its own reward.
I know it's yours.
For others' sake.
That'll do.
Die on it today,
we need now is a suit and a nickname, like Wade the Wisecracker or Scare Devil, Mr. Never Die. Oh, shit.
What?
I put all my money on you, and now I just realize I'm never going to win the
Deadpool.
Very handy in a tight spot, these lads.
I got this one, too.
Despite the fact they're dead.
Ghost is dead.
Dead meat.
No, they're all dead. They're all dead.
Death to me!
And this one had a flash forward. And
you're
we didn't
meat.
Use it.
Ray pointed that out right away.
You did. He sure did.
Dead. You're welcome, Canada.
Can I say something? I don't want to give him homework, but if he's willing to, I'll bet you dollars to donuts. The king of the montage soundbite may put us all to shame by next week coming up with his own for you.
Aesop already did. One of those was his.
No, it's Dan.
Oh, Dan. DP. There you go.
Here's the thing. We need to rely on reliable talent. People are going to be here.
Whoa.
For the long haul. Wow. I just don't know.
I think this is reverse psychology here.
Guys, you're just going to blow the show off of Legos.
I think he's trying to push his buttons. It might have backfired. It backfired on you, Patrick. It backfired.
And the contest is coming, God. Like, you know what? Posterity, the decision was made. Sorry.
Yes! Yes! Fuck you, too!
Very well done. I appreciate it.
That's why he's a professional.
So, we're coming to the next to last episode. Here's my real question and why I played the death six down stuff in the first place, other than to take cheap shots at, all three of you. Like, literally, I took a shot at all three of you in that segment. That's how good of a villain I am. Do we do the Deadpool today for episode 7/8? Because sometimes that big death happens in the penultimate episode, maybe not necessarily the episode. Or do we let it ride, fingers crossed, that we make it to episode 8? Or we just do the whole thing now? Do we just try to pick somebody who dies today?
Query for the panel about some 3, 7, 8 off the top of your head, quick predictions. And then next week, whoever's standing, we can run it back again. Because there's not a lot of prep time here. I didn't really think about who might die this season. And in fact, I never really thought that we were this far into the season already. I'm kind of sad. Just a suggestion.
I fully did this on the fly in the midst of the show.
I'll go if I want. I got 2. And I know.
Well, because I've already said mine. Yeah, mine's A-Train. I think A-Train's days are
the numbered. Other one for sure. Fake Noir. He's done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that scene with the Deep was not great for him.
Not encouraging.
DP or Tunney, you got some thoughts for this edition of the Deadpool?
I think Victoria's going.
I don't think so. I'll go the opposite of that. I'll tell you who's going to die. Singer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I see Firecracker and Homelander kind of taking over business.
Oh, there's one more who
I think Brainiac.
Ashley yeah. might, because no, they're no. going to find Ashley. Out that she was in on the fake leak.
I think what's her name? The Brainiac girl?
Sage?
Sage. I always want to say Mace. Sage. So Sage, she's gone and Ashley takes back over next
year. The Deep Sock.
Ambrosia.
Oh, come on. That's really mean, dude. That octopus gives great head. That's bullshit.
I wonder if that octopus has a safe word to it.
We're just throwing names out there.
Tentacle.
It's suction cup.
Succubus.
Buttercup.
Suction.
Zendaya,
Buttercup.
Tunney's safe word is foreskin, right?
Oh, Jesus. Well, it's time. No. Just talk over it. We don't need it. We're not going to go there. Just take care of that. And we're going to go into our first commercial break. And when we come back, I will try to keep Tunney from saying foreskin like the cable guy. You're listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, to Bandwagon Nerds here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of TheChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ChairShot. And invest in one of our many awesome Chair Shot shirt designs. Fellas, it's time to get ourselves over to the trailer park. We got 4, I think, good ones to talk about today. So I'm excited to get to it. But before we can do that, we got to play some of that beautiful banjo. This week, you know what, Dave, back-to-back weeks for you. Why don't you do us a favor? Play that beautiful banjo. All right, welcome into the trailer park, fellas. 4 trailers today, a couple of comic book flicks, But we're going to start with another horror movie that's coming out. Oh, sorry, one is a series. My bad. But we're going to start with the trailer for the horror movie Afraid. It stars John Cho. And if there's something I always love about a good horror flick is horror movies oftentimes are reflective of the era that we live in. And one of the biggest things that we have going on and has been a trend in horror films has been the concept of AI and AI gone wrong. Now, this is something that has been in films for a really long time, dating as far back as 2001, A Space Odyssey. Hell, even the Resident Evil movie, first Resident Evil movie, involves an AI that has gone rogue. Megan, more recently, an AI doll, which is now spawning a whole franchise. But we get this film called Afraid. And Afraid, one, looks like it head fakes you a little bit into where we're really going. Because it starts out, you got John Cho, his family, he's got a wife, couple, they invest in this artificial intelligence home security system that slowly but surely starts taking over everything and becomes more and more unsettling to the point where I'm not sure what we're dealing with by the end when she's talking to the little kid. The AI is talking to the little kid about, do you want to see what I really look like? What are we doing here? Are these aliens? Is this a weird militant group? What's happening? I'm very concerned. I also want to see this movie because it looks really, really terrifying and suspenseful. And I want to see what happens when you're trapped in your own house. So mark me as interested in Afraid coming soon to a theater near you. Dave, your thoughts on this trailer, and would you go see this?
Probably not. And for many of the reasons that you kind of outlined at the beginning, this is starting to become too prevalent, a little too tropey, the whole notion of AI gone wrong. You know, we've seen that since Terminator. And it just seems like, okay, we're almost at the sort of fear-mongering at this point with the advent of AI and what could possibly go wrong with it. Now, I'll give you this. There is an element of this that raises... What are you laughing?
I just disagree with, like, everything you just said right there, but that's okay.
Well, that's fine. You're wrong, but so, that's okay.
I'm not, because I run the show, so, like...
It doesn't make you right. It just makes you in charge. So.
With an iron fist, I rule this shit. Are you kidding me?
I think... Like you said,
there's your wrong opinion.
There's an element that you kind of mentioned that raises an interesting, like, could something else be at play here? Could AI have been like, now if you're going to tell me AI's been possessed by the devil, that raises some interesting concepts that haven't been done before. Something, some alien technology that's taken over AI and it infused in it. It's like, okay, well, now you've got a sentient AI program. And if you're sentient, that kind of raises the possibility that you can be possessed by something otherworldly. So now if you're going in that direction, now I'm suddenly more interested. But it's just like, yeah, it's just another movie about AI gone wrong. I've seen this before. So there you go. You can tell me why I'm wrong.
Oh, okay. I mean, there's no reason to delve into your wrongness when we have two other panelists to speak. So DP, go ahead. You leaned in.
I'm afraid now, but here it goes. I am interested in this movie. It didn't seem, I guess, as much horror as it did more of a thriller, just weird shit going on with the AI. So I'm definitely into watching that and seeing where they go from there. It kind of reminds me like a little bit of, you know, you talked about sentient stuff and go all the way back to, you know, HAL from Space Odyssey and, you know, like that kind of shit. Like it seemed a little more like that to me, which sounded interesting, you know, and it might give me some insight as to what my Alexa devices might be doing soon to me. Right. So I can be prepared, maybe.
Can you have it build your Legos or help you at least?
I don't want them to do that. Where's that's the fun?
Dumbass.
What was
that? Was that?
What? What was what?
Dumbass.
Oh, boy. But yeah, I thought it was, it looks good. I'm interested in this one. Not theaters, but I'll see it, you know, when it comes out to streaming.
Dave,
yeah,
you
I think
got
it'd be great
there.
On Paramount Plus.
Dave, you got there. You didn't explore it. This is something new. This is an evil / alien force taking over AI and using it in a brilliant way in a family setting where you can take over from the inside, but the kids will learn to trust it and they'll go against what their parents say. And the parents are too stupid to go outside the box to solve the problem because they're too wrapped up in saving their kid.
And if that's what it is, then I retract.
Right. And I thought about this too. And I love doing this now. I've started bringing my earbuds, my wireless earbuds with me to the diner. And I'm full out sitting there watching these fucking previews at the diner. And this was one of them where the waitress came over and went, "What are you watching?" And I had to kind of explain. So it looks very interesting. The actors in here, I can't.
Yeah.
They're very familiar to me. Yeah. And it's just, it's a really interesting take on a way of playing that AI takeover by adding in an evil alien life force is kind of what I took from it. I don't know necessarily we're going down the evil spirit.
Yeah. It's very ambiguous. It's very hard to kind of figure out where they're going there. Couple of the other people that are in this movie that I appreciate, Lakeeta Maxwell, she plays the teenage daughter. She has been on a couple of shows, but she's also on one of my favorite Apple TV shows. There's that streaming service again, fellas. She plays Jason Segel's daughter in the TV show Shrinking with Harrison Ford. Is a very, very good show. She does great. She's the one who kind of holds the family together. And in the trailer, there is a boy that it's like some photos or a video of her are about to leak online. The AI stops it and then kills the boy that she thinks is responsible for leaking it, even though we don't know. Like, we don't know if that's actually the case, according to the trailer. So I don't know. I like it. It's not a robot. Like, the thing I think I really like about this trailer and what kind of sets it apart from basically anything I've seen since 2001 is there's no real physical manifestation of it. Like, the thing that was scary about HAL in 2001, A Space Odyssey, is that HAL is the ship. You know, this seems to be like Aya is the name of the AI. She is the house. And that's a little bit different than, you know, as funny as it sounds, really haven't seen that done since the first Resident Evil movie where the AI is controlling the compound.
I'm not sure which one it is, but Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors had this exact thing happen.
It did.
I mean, the Simpsons always did it.
I wasn't trying to be anything but like applauding the Simpsons there. Like, they fucking strike again. Absolutely. You guys.
There you go. All right. Well, speaking about striking it, let's talk about striking it rich in a bad way, as we got a trailer for the movie Jackpot starring Awkwafina and John Cena. This movie takes place in 2030. Awkwafina is an actress. She's going in for an audition when everybody's phones go off and announce that Awkwafina won the lottery, which sounds great until she walks into the hallway and the other actresses she's auditioning against start trying to kill her. She's eventually picked up by John Cena in a car, and we learn the basic plot of this film is that if you win the lottery in California in 2030, Dave, 6 years away, man. That's not that far away. So you might want to be on the lookout for this.
Fucking Dave.
Get your arsenal built up.
If you win the lottery, great. If somebody kills you within, 24 hours or sundown of the day that they win, that person was the jackpot. It's like a twist on The Purge. And it did beg the question to me of, okay, so if I kill Dave, because Dave won the lottery, then can Tunney kill me and then Tunney wins the lottery? Is it a domino effect sort of thing? And does it all end up with the scientist stabbing Tunney in the face with a Lego knife, killing him, thus leading to the scientist winning the lottery out of the Bandwagon Nerds 2030 California Lottery adventure?
It's like the Elder Wand in Harry Potter, right? Whoever ends up with it at the end controls it.
Right. Movie looks funny. John Cena gets to play the action star / comedian off of Awkwafina, who I think is a very talented, funny actress. She does a great job. A lot of hilarity ensues. Simi Liu also reuniting with Awkwafina. Shang-Chi reunion, though not quite the same way, as Simi Liu seems to be the bad guy, the one who really wants to kill Awkwafina and get that jackpot. At least that's kind of what is implied in the trailer. So again, this looks fun. Looks fun. Did any of you participate in the contest that was after the trailer, by the way? Because again, I don't want Dave to try to kill me.
Is it an actual lottery or something where you win $30 million?
I don't know. They started talking about a jackpot. And I was like, no, thanks. I just watched a trailer where that's not going to be good for me. So I said no. But Tony, would you enter a lottery where if you win, you're going to win $1 billion if you can survive everybody else trying to kill you for the next 24 hours or whatever it is?
Only the people that know me really, really, really well. And it's not your fault if you're not physically around me a lot. But I could give two flying fucks about money. So, no, I would not.
Do they know where you are?
The DP stabs you, yeah.
I just try to make friends that have lots of money. You know, that way they get stabbed. The other person gets stabbed. I mean, I just hang out, pick up all the pieces after. It's how I win at Fortnite. This looks hilarious, by the way. good for John. You know, when you say it stars Awkwafina and John Cena, you can hear that, right?
Yeah. Awkwafina.
Yeah. This looks like Kill Bill meets The Purge meets Zombieland or something like that. Like, it just looks fun. Meets a Japanese game show. This is hilarious to me. I think it'll be a really fun ride. It's definitely something you sit home at night and, you know, you have your adult accoutrements and enjoy an hour and a half of John Cena and Awkwafina.
I don't know how to follow that, fellas. Dave?
I like this trailer. The notion of somebody winning the lottery and
the house is taken over by AI and stabs Awkwafina.
Would that be better if we combine those two movies? Do you think both movies would be better?
Well, it would make sense because then Awkwafina acting all these scenes and she's just by herself and it looks like someone else is there, but she can't see him. So it could just be the AI, you know?
And then, like, the AI convinces the kids that their mom's in the water.
Yeah. The notion of somebody winning the lottery and then being outed publicly for winning the lottery, problematic in its own way.
Welcome to Wisconsin. Hey, welcome to Wisconsin. You have to have your picture taken to collect your lottery winnings.
Well, no, I mean, that part, I mean, like, when somebody won, like, Powerball up 30 miles from here, it took, like, 2 months for them to come forward and claim it because of fear of all this other stuff. So this is like the inverse of that. Now we're going to put your name all over the place. You're lucky enough to pull off this astronomically you've got no chance of winning this thing. So you actually do win, and then you're fighting for your life just to collect. So it's a very unique take on the California lottery. Probably not that inaccurate, to be honest. But yeah, this looks really fun. I mean, John Cena, you know, he's got to get ready for his retirement. So this is going to help.
Also reminded me a little bit of Rat Race, but with murder, you know, kind of thing. Like, you know, so it looks like a lot of fun. I got more questions though. I want to know some of the questions you've been asking. Like, if you murder that person, are they now on the hook for another 24 hours? Do they know your location? Like, are you being tracked? Like, they can find you, or can I just hide in a bunker for 24 hours and then come out ready to rock and roll?
That didn't work so well for Ethan Hawke.
You just gotta stay in Alaska in case you win.
I would say there's one thing we know from the trailer, and there's one thing we know from being a moviegoer. One thing we know from the trailer is the people automatically have the picture of what she looks like. And one thing we know as moviegoers is usually one of, if not the biggest movie star, doesn't die. So all other rules probably will not apply.
Fair enough. All right, let's move into our last two trailers. I put this next one on here because this comic book property is a significant comic book property, and that is Hellboy. We get this trailer for Hellboy, the Crooked Man. And to say that this trailer was poorly received would be a bit of an understatement. And after watching the trailer, I must say I kind of get it, because it's tough, because this movie is at the very least being produced or co-written or something. One of the original writers or creators of Hellboy is involved with this project. But this movie is like B-movie level looking shit all the way through. And it's like Hellboy in the deep woods of Kentucky. And serious, no, like it's right. All a bunch of like redneck hillbilly sounding people. Like we, this segment, the trailer part, it's like those people.
So Pat, would you have called like this movie
those stereotypes?
Would you have called it Hellboy Deliverance? Which you would have done.
Maybe I just, you know, I watched the trailer and I'm like, okay, there's some supernatural stuff. There's this crooked man, but I couldn't get past the overdone twangy accents. Y'all gonna die. You're dead. We gonna shoot you. Nope. Give me some fried chicken and some chili.
Don't.
Basically. So I don't know. Hellboy Deliverance. Sonny. Or no, let's go DP this time. DP, why should we not watch this movie? Give us a reason to avoid this film.
Because I didn't watch the other two, and this one looks even worse.
Three. There's actually three.
Are there three? See, that's how bad it this one looks like it's way over the top, like weird-ass horror shit. The
two Ron Perlman Hellboy movies are not that bad. They're very late 90s, early 2000s, but they're not that bad. I never saw the David Harbour.
Were they more comedy action than this one? Like, I don't remember.
They leaned into it. Didn't seem like it was this bad. They were very much movies of their time. The Golden Army is better than it gets credit for. I think you talk about fatigue. There was some fatigue around that one. Audiences just weren't there.
Yeah. This looks horrible. I had no interest in the other ones. I don't see why I would ever go see this. Because, yeah, it just looks so, like you said, backwoods, weird ass, doesn't seem to fit the narrative kind of thing. And it's really awkward.
Dave, Hellboy fan that you are.
Well, I don't know if I'd call
it. You at least respect it.
Yes.
Respect?
Yes, absolutely. But that's the problem is, like, as much as I respect the source material, it's something that nobody's clamoring for, right? I mean, they bring this thing out. There's no buzz to it. Nobody is sitting there saying, it's not like Fantastic Four, which has all this buzz and people remake it, do it right. Or Dark Phoenix, remake it, do it right. Nobody's saying that about Hellboy, remake it and do it right. And then you get this and it's just like, what are we doing here? If you're going to go and remake this property or do something like a sequel for this property, at least make it good. But this just looks like somebody trying to capitalize on the IP, and there's not much of that to capitalize on because nobody's really pushing for this. And it's just everything that you look about this, like you're saying, Pat, the quality of this, it just doesn't look good. It doesn't look interesting. And it's just, it's a combination of cataclysmic failure that this is going to be Madam Web material by the time it gets there. That's my prediction.
So it'll be the internet's fault that it's terrible.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's what Emma What's-Her-Nuts said.
Yes. Not the fact that the movie sucked, but just that the internet does, which
Emma Roberts.
True, but you don't see Sydney Sweeney saying, yeah, this was a masterpiece of my career. But
yep. Anyway. Sonny, you can check out Hellboy?
No. Hellboy 2, though, is definitely the biggest success at the box office that they had.
It wasn't a bad movie.
And here's the thing about Hellboy. $157 million domestically, right? With a $192 million budget over those three movies. So they've lost money. But the worldwide box office and the domestic together is $314 million. This movie makes money.
Does
this franchise makes money. It's made over $100 million in three movies.
Right, but it's different franchises. Here's my thing is, I don't think this movie's going to make money. This movie looks bad. Like, it looks straight up bad.
Was this the movie or the series?
The movie.
This is a
God.
A movie.
I hope this isn't a series. That would be even worse.
Well,
space this out over eight episodes, man. Just wow. What? Are, unless it's on Tubi for free, then I can't. I don't know, man. I can't see that.
You heard it here first. Tubi, get the Hellboy rights so that Dave will watch it for free. All right, let's move into our last trailer. So. For those of you who haven't watched the Harley Quinn animated series on Max, one, you should. Shame on you. It's a really good series. Dave is patting himself on the head.
That's me.
We got a trailer for its spinoff, though, following the character of Kite Man. Kite Man, hell yeah. And this, you know, much like Dave gives Tony and I a hard time for not watching Gen V and understanding what's up, you kind of had to have watched Harley Quinn to understand why it's exciting that we are getting a Kite Man animated spinoff series, because he's this character within the Harley Quinn series that is like he's just trying really hard, man. He's trying really hard, doing the best he can, and he just kind of sucks at everything. He's dating Poison Ivy for a while. She leaves him at the altar for Harley. Like, that's the big season finale. This has happened since that incident. He has apparently moved on with his life, hanging in a bar with sidekick bad guy characters. The Bane character appears to be playing a huge role. Bane is fucking hilarious in the Harley Quinn series as well. I'm all for more of this series in its DC universe, because it's really, really been fun to see Harley Quinn. And Kite Man was, like I say, he's just a sweet dude trying really hard and sort of sucking at it. And this looks like I'm going to be watching Frasier with superhero with bad guys. No tossed salads or scrambled eggs. So I can't remember. Has anybody else on the panel actually watched the Harley Quinn series on Max? Tunney watched an animated series and Dave did not. That's crazy. I know. Tunney, are you in for Kite Man? Because this is going to be funny. I think it's
gonna be funny. It's hilarious. He is like the man. He's like, ignorance is his bliss, and he's clumsy, and like the hilarity of this preview, just in the part of where he opens his kite in the bar and like four people get hurt, it's like, that's just like who he is, and it's so funny. The harder he tries, the funnier it gets, and the more fucked up things get. Yeah, and then you talk about you said Bane, like you see the soft side of Bane and like the intricacies of Bane, and it's fucking hilarious. So. Everything. I was so excited because the Harley Quinn series is great to explore this character. It's just more adult fun with a whole different type of raunchy humor you can get into.
By the way, and Tunney could probably find it in 5 seconds and give you a sample of it, but the dude who voices Bane and the way Bane talks, it's priceless. Like it's so funny. But DP, have you watched the Harley Quinn series?
No, you can shame me, but it's on my list to watch, and I just haven't gotten there.
We'll give you a pass. You've been buying a lot of Legos lately. I'll give you a pass.
But I do enjoy, this looks fantastic. You're not fantastic. Dave
and Mr. D.
I like Batman, though, so Batman's my favorite. So, I mean...
Oh, God, who voices Batman? It's,
Here, before God, you get going, DP, it's right in the beginning of this preview. Yeah.
Is that the same guy who voiced him in the Lego Batman movie? Because that's where I like that like comedic it. Bane is phenomenal. Bane. That's just such a funny bit.
DP, you should have a Lego statue of Bane in your basement.
The characters that became regulars out of the Harley Quinn series that I just like, Bane is like, Bane always has like a little side story going on around the Harley Quinn show. It's really funny. Dave, when are you going to watch Harley Quinn so that you can then watch Kite Man like a real fan?
Right? Oh, it's, yeah, I'm like DP. It's on my list.
You only got two episodes of The Boys left, man.
Honestly, Dave, I think you could watch Harley Quinn with your wife.
Maybe she might be into it, but
it's a fast watch. But too, see, Pat, only you say 30-minute episodes.
You say we only got two episodes of The Boys left, but that ignores Tunney is in our Vice, House of the Dragon, and we got Cobra Kai coming up. So and Umbrella Academy.
I mean,
so
that sounds like a personal problem to me. Again, I've got about 7 or different series just I'm juggling right now. I'm not watching. But that's only until
NCAA 25 comes out, and then it's all over.
Well, I'll make time. My time.
Will you though?
But NCAA 25 is very exciting. I will. Got to prioritize. All right. Let's walk on out of the trailer park. Let's head into news around the Nerdist.
The best part of that trailer, yep. Lee Trevino. All around. For everyone. Yes.
Lee Trevino's all around. It doesn't give out Arnold Palmer's. They give out Lee Trevino's.
What's that drink from my favorite golfer?
You mean Arnold Palmer?
It's great stuff.
Lee Trevino for everybody.
So I made, and it's funny because I made a Lee Trevino's joke while recording the previous episode too of Musical Chairs. Check it out tomorrow on the Chair Shot Radio Network or thechairshot.com. Okay, so to quote the movie Mean Girls, please don't try to make fetch a thing. But shared this article. Apparently, November 22nd is going to be the next round of trying to recapture the magic of a movie event that happened this past year known as Barbenheimer. This time around, Wicked has announced they are changing their release date. They are moving their release date to November 22nd, a week earlier than they originally were set to go out, which means that it will be coming out on the same weekend as Ridley Scott's Gladiator 2. And already the tweets are coming of a double feature night, checking out Wicked and Gladiator 2 on the same day. Is this going to be a Barbenheimer 2, or is this people trying to make Fetch happen? Dave?
I will go with B. This is people trying to make Fetch happen, because the big difference is there isn't, I don't know about you guys, I am not expecting great things out of Gladiator 2. Pat, you've already kind of indicated previously your concerns with Wicked. So Barbenheimer was a...
I will say this. I'm decidedly in the minority over the Wicked.
But you have valid concerns.
There's a lot of buzz for Wicked.
Yeah, but I...
Like, I won't say that that movie's going to make a shit ton of money. Like, Tony's excited. Look at his nipples.
But does anybody think that either of those movies are going to be on the level of Oppenheimer or Barbie? I mean, that's a stretch.
Did anybody think that Barbie and Oppenheimer were going to be the movies that they were? I'm
Oppenheimer,
just counter,
yeah,
that. Like,
Oppenheimer for sure. Barbie, we were very, I remember leading into that, we had progressively gotten more amped about it as it got closer to being released.
Did Wizard of Oz win an Oscar for anything?
1930?
I would have to imagine. God, if there were Oscars.
So then you have a remake of two Oscar winning movies on the same.
Two, a remake or a sequel?
Well, whatever, or sequel, whatever. They're both sequels, actually. They are sequels. So you have sequels to two Academy Award-winning movies on the same weekend. That's pretty big. But
I'm
agree
not,
with
I'm
you.
I'm not picking on you, but isn't Wicked a prequel?
Whatever. You know what I mean.
Wicked is... No.
It is a prequel, yes, because it's before Wizard of Oz, because it's earlier on in The Witch's Lie.
But it depends on how they follow it, because the... Like, I've read the book, and I can't remember the musical well enough to know... Dorothy and, like, the events of The Wizard of Oz happen in Wicked. Like, it's actually kind of, starts as a prequel, but concludes with Elphaba's death at the hands of Dorothy.
So the multiverse started in the 1930s, just so you know.
Right.
Somewhere in there, yeah. But, I don't know. DP, what do you think?
I think it's stupid. Why? Why come out on the same weekend? Why would you do that to yourself? Like, there's nothing else coming out. The rest of the movies are garbage. Like, why are you moving yourself up?
What's the difference, though, between that and going the next weekend? What's the difference?
That's what I want to know.
What's
the difference?
What comes out?
Why? So why not come out at the same time?
What releases on
November
29th?
You're putting yourself up against competition that you don't need to have. When you're going out for the weekend and want to go see a movie and you got actually have an option to choose between, like, two ones that have been, like, I don't know, I guess I haven't heard of Gladiator 2 yet, but...
Or maybe they want the wives to go, I'll go with you to see Gladiator if we go see Wicked then next. And they get the double purchase as opposed to not.
They do seem to be going with
vice versa.
Opposites attract sort of thing like they did with Barbenheimer. I just don't know. I think that was a once in a lifetime sort of congruence of everything happening that I don't know if they're going to be able to catch.
Those are originals, you know.
True.
I think I may have the answer to your question.
Do you think, though, this is the question I wanted to ask when we started the conversation, was do you think this is the new trend that they're going to try to duplicate now for years until it fails for so many years in a row? Because regardless of what this does, in 2026, they're going to try and do something like that again.
I know why they moved to Wicked. There's a little Disney movie coming out on November 22nd called Moana 2. And so they are trying to protect their own audience.
They got a better shot.
Insert latest rock meme here. Hey, Wicked, you can go be the next Barbenheimer.
They
don't want to compete again. They don't want to compete against themselves, basically.
Yeah, bear in mind, I don't know that that's really what studios are trying to, maybe there will be something like that where a studio might target something that doesn't make a lot of sense to go do a double feature. I think it's trying to make Fetch happen, though. Like, I agree with you, Tony, in the sense that studios are going to try it because they saw what happened. But it's also, that's the big problem with entertainment in general. Manufacturing a phenomena doesn't usually work.
No, but sometimes in life, and it happens in movies as well, but probably in a lot of other aspects in life, is you find an idea that works, you put your own spin on it, and you make it better. And it becomes something that people don't even remember the thing before.
Yeah, I don't know that this is going to happen.
I appreciate
your devil's advocating. Let's move into the last story before our final commercial break. And that is, we're in another one of those periods where shows that are in production are going to see the light of day. It was announced this week that Netflix has scrapped their adaptation of the video game series Horizon Zero Dawn. No more. Tapped for TV 2 years ago, but recent allegations against one of the showrunners, Steve Blackman, has likely killed the show where it stood. We also received word that the Batman Arkham Asylum-focused TV spinoff series based out of the Robert Pattinson Batman universe is dead, at least in the incarnation that we may have originally thought we were getting, because we're seeing Antonio Campos depart the series. Multiple people have left this project, and it sounds like now, if this series gets paid at all, it won't be anything like this Gotham City PD to Arkham Asylum, or it's going to maybe focus more on the Gotham City Police Department as opposed to Arkham Asylum, which I don't know that that's a more compelling show. Gentlemen, of these two series, if you had feelings one way or the other, which is the bigger loss to you in terms of a show going down? EP, we'll start with you.
I think the bigger loss would be the Batman series, because I mean, I think there's more stuff you can pull from that and you can expand on it even further. Like, obviously they're doing the Penguin, you know, and if you do Arkham and you have all those other villains come in, you can start doing other stories, make some more shows. For me, being the nerd, video game nerd that I am, I hate that Horizon Zero Dawn's gone, because I think that is a crazy, intriguing story that could have done really well on television or wherever, similar to Fallout. Like, it's a great story. But it sounds like, on top of the problems with the showrunner, that the scripts were bad as well, because otherwise I could see them saying, like, well, bring it to somebody else and let them take over and do things. But it sounds like there was more issues with writing and everything like that too, but that's a killer. But I think but if you had me to choose, I think the Batman Arkham one probably worse, because there's just more expansion there and to get further into the DC universe with other characters.
I do like the Horizon Dawn concept for the game, and think that there was real opportunity to make a good show there. For those of you who don't know, the showrunner that we were talking about, basically allegations of sort of abusive behavior on the set of the Umbrella Academy towards actors, taking credit for work that wasn't his, some really, really not good stuff. So it sucks if this is the nail in that show's coffin, that the behavior of a dude could do it that thoroughly.
That's why I say, like, success. Like, you know, the rest of the story, you know, you sent us was, you know, they talked about potentially, you know, the scripts and the writing and stuff being bad too, because otherwise, like, yeah, why wouldn't you just pass it off to somebody else?
Right.
Get it pushed through, getting pushed, you know, further. But it sounds like there's more issues than just him, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yep. It is very, very sad. Dave, I have a feeling I know where you're going.
Well,
but
I agree with DP all the way. I think, you know, on the one hand, scrapping the Horizon stuff because, you know, of course, we got the issues with the showrunner. But yeah, if the scripts are bad, then this kind of represents some more responsible viewpoints made by some of these studios to not just put out every video game property and not worry about the quality, because you've really reversed the field in the past couple years by putting out, like, Halo Season 2 was really good, The Last of Us, Fallout, all really good series. So I think they don't, you know, from the standpoint of, let's not just put something out to put it out, this is a story that could be told really well, let's wait until we get it right. But from the standpoint of Batman, yeah, I mean, you know, as video game nerds at DP and I are, the Arkham Asylum series of games has all sorts of great stories that you can tell in the Batman universe that I firmly disagree with going in the direction of Gotham PD. I don't think that's more compelling at all. But there's a lot of stuff you can do with Arkham Asylum that would be really fun to delve into and expand the lore of the Batman character. as Pattinson's Batman character gets more experienced, you inject him into the Arkham Asylum thing. So, yeah, I think losing Arkham Asylum is probably the bigger issue right now, but it's something you could circle back to later on.
I think that's the big point, though, Dave. It might be bigger for Horizon series because that's probably not going to get revisited. You're always going to come back to Batman. You're always going to come back to ways of things of Batman that can be done in different ways. I mean, just look at the number of animated series and movies that are told when Batman's completely, you know, nearly completely different character, except for a few core value things. As a consumer, yeah, Batman, right? Like, I could have cared less about the Horizon thing. So, but overall, there's more video game stories and there's more Batman stories to be told.
Right. It's all Star Wars. All right. We are heading into our final commercial break. We come back, we're going to have a little bit more therapy for DC fans and then talk some Marvel Entertainment MCU news. You are listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back into the final segment of Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all of your Chairshot swag needs. Gentlemen. So the internet's freaking out a little bit. I know, like, everybody's in it too. And it's all because every time a new set photo from James Gunn's upcoming Superman flick comes out, showing maybe a character or a costume or something, DC guys are all up in their feels, being all like, this isn't how it's supposed to look. So we got our first look at what I am presuming is Guy Gardner in this set photo. And I forgot to share with you guys. I apologize. It was in the Bandwagon Nerds DM thread. So I didn't move it there. I replied with yikes because the picture isn't the best of pictures in the world. The costume is certainly something. But Dave, you're my resident DC guy. How are we feeling about what we're seeing?
Completely ambivalent to the whole thing, because it's like, this is smoke without fire. You're taking these pictures of there's no context to this. Where are we going? For all we know, these guys are walking from one camper to the next camper. We don't even know if they're being filmed, if they've been in makeup or anything. It's just isolated snippets of stuff that people are freaking out over. And I'm like, there's no context here. Why am I getting all concerned about these costumes that may not be the finished product? This may not be anything final. We don't know what's going on in these photos. So why am I losing my goddamn mind over this stuff? I mean, if it was that private, I'm pretty sure James Gunn wouldn't just be letting this stuff float out there like this. So that's the way I feel, Pat, is this is a lot to do about nothing. And yeah, I mean, I get it. If that's the finished product, then you have every reason to be concerned, but there's no reason to suspect that this is what we're going to get on screen when this movie comes out. So I just kind of like ignore it.
So Dave's rationalizing.
Sorry.
My bad. Sonny, how do you feel about set leaks and costume? I'm sorry, Dave. I just messed with you.
No, you're right. That's how I'm trying to be rational, logical here. I apologize.
I feel pretty much the same way Dave does. For all we know, this could be like the kind of dress rehearsal to get everything in place, so when you start shooting, you actually know what things are going to be. What an interesting thing for me would be is if they came up with a way to basically go, we found a way to CGI everything and you can't even fucking tell. So we're just going to have you run around in Halloween costumes and we'll fix it all post. That's just a weird outlandish thought that I had, but yeah, who cares? I don't care. I honestly hope this Superman starts off more about being at the Daily Planet than anything else. I really want to get involved in the depth of the character. Like, inside his brain as opposed to what he's trying to do with the outside world and interact with them. I think that's the only way you can bring people back truly to DC is let them get inside the head of the most powerful, most prominent, longest lasting, longest living superhero that we have in American culture.
This is all a ruse. I want him to be absolutely trolling everybody. I want him to come out with a trailer that looks like the original Superman, like Christopher Reeves, you know, mixed with, the Batman campiness.
You want some George Reeves in there too?
Yes.
George Reeves too, from the 1930s, 40s?
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage.
Christopher Reeve. What was that? Nicolas Cage.
The guy who said it's a bird. What was he so excited about?
And I want him to just run with that. Like, he's doing this completely on purpose. And is just going to troll everybody just to fuck with people because he can, because pictures like this can come out and everybody gets up in arms. So why not? Just dive right into it.
Side note, how cool is it, though, to know that Christopher Reeve's son is going to have a little spot cameo in the movie? Sounds like playing a reporter, which is something he does anyway. I thought that was cool. Here's the thing is I trust James Gunn. Like, I trust that guy to know what he's doing. He's made three good superhero movies, really good superhero movies in the Marvel side. Why should I doubt him in the other direction? He didn't go full Taika. Taika went full crazy. Poor Ragnarok, not good. Or Love and Thunder.
His Suicide Ragnarok Squad wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
To DP's point, even Marvel has kind of trolled their fans with the whole Agatha thing.
I mean, it was Agatha all along.
Yeah.
I didn't know that show. I do think I shared this with you guys more so that we can make fun of it than really get into it, because I don't. One, it also looks like a costume I've seen in the comics for Green Lantern and Guy Gardner. Like, I don't quite get what the controversy was, but some of our own saying he's giving off some WB vibes.
What if that scene is the people who are those characters in real life dressed up as the superheroes at like a costume party? Clark Kent went as Superman, right? Like,
no. Daily Planet's costume ball.
Maybe. I don't know. All right, let's get to our last story of the day. Last story of the show. And this is going to focus on the Marvel animation side of things, which is something that we have come around on, I think, in the last few months, years, that Marvel animation has really found its stride in a way that it really hadn't in a long time. DC has kind of had the market cornered on animated films in particular. Like, a DC animated movie, you could kind of take to the bank. Animated series less. So Marvel has tried off and on, and it's never quite hit. But they've had some good success lately. Most notably, X-Men 97 went over huge. Marvel's What If went over really, really well, both season one and two. We got another season coming. And this week, Brad Winterbaum, who is the head of streaming television and animation for Marvel Studios, jumped on the official Marvel podcast, and he started by revealing and this is his opinion, that the upcoming Eyes of Wakanda will be the most singularly important animated show to the MCU to date. And I think it's interesting that he said that, because, you know, What If kind of, like, to watch What If, especially season one, it really digs into the lore of the MCU. Season two, they started getting into other places, like where you had the 1602 story and some other timelines that way. But I thought that was really interesting. I mean, quote was that more than any show we're doing in animation ties directly into the MCU. It's a story about Wakandan history. It's both the history of Wakanda, but it also expands into the greater MCU at different time periods. So if you're a fan of the movies, I think the show is going to be a real treat. Ryan Coogler is involved in the making of this series as a producer, I want to say. And there are some other, it's Todd Harris, who's the showrunner, is a former Marvel storyboard artist. So a lot of good connections there. There's been a lot of concern spoken, you know, whether other publications, other podcasts, even on this podcast, about keeping track of everything and things that tie. How do we feel about the idea of an MCU animated series directly tying to films we've seen in some way, shape, or form? Tunny, you lowered your microphone to get ready to comment. Why don't you comment first on this one this time around?
I think the title gives me the utmost hope. Okay. The Eyes of Wakanda. Think about that. From everything we've seen and like the history before that, Wakanda has had its eye on the world and everything that's going on and helped out in ways underneath, you know, the table, if you will, until being discovered. And we all know their role after that. So I'd love to see how they've helped shape history. This is like the Blank That Built America series, right? The toys, the movies, the food, the Titans, the this, the that. How did Wakanda help build the Marvel universe that we know, and where can we learn more about how they did without us knowing? Because they definitely have had that ability when you think about they hadn't been discovered until a certain time, right? So when we go backwards, we can learn a lot of things.
I think as well, you know, you're talking about the time periods, and the seems like the story based on what we were reading here was that they're traveling the world to collect back some dangerous artifacts that were made from vibranium. That were all created throughout the history of Wakanda. And I'm going to guess like kind of each one is going to give us a story that's going to go like back in time and tell us how that artifact was created or where it came from. And we're still in that time. It's all kind of connecting, it seems, with the TVA and all time variances and different time periods and, you know, expansion of that, which is really cool. And like PC said, Wakanda is kind of the eye of everything. It's been, you know, kind of the center, like they're, you know, they don't try not to get involved, but they get involved. And I'm all for having the animation be part of this. I mean, when we talked about X-Men 97 coming back, there was the tease, like, was that going to be part of the actual MCU and connect to the movies? And then he talks about that in this article as well, like the next season at X-Men 97, we're in for something big. Like, maybe they are going to still connect that now that this one may connect with the movies too. And just add to everything else. Like, I'm all for it. I think it's awesome. There's so many other little, smaller stories you can tell in these animated series that can connect that you don't need, you know, you have your episodes, but you don't need a 2.5 hour movie on the big screen to really do. So tell some of those smaller stories here, expand it into the big universe, into the bigger story on the big screen. Awesome.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a long time about using Marvel animation to further the MCU. And this is like the first official confirmation that they are actually doing that. And I think that's hugely important because as we've noted with animation, you are not as tethered to certain things as you are with live action. And they can do certain things with animation that maybe you can't do in live action and introduce newer, different elements, I should say. So like you said, Pat, there are elements of What If season one that we've now seen in live action, notably Dark Strange, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think from the standpoint of what they want to tell as far as Wakanda going forward, you know, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever was a fantastic movie. There is still the issue of, you know, do we ever do anything with T'Challa? We know he's dead from, you know, what we get with Wakanda Forever. So, you know, do they use this to tell some sort of different sort of story? I don't know. But I do think using animation to further the MCU is smart. There's a relative level of safety to it, and you know, you don't have to take too big of a risk to do that. So yeah, I think it's going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I'm like DP, yeah, let's get the MCU, let's get the animation, expand this universe, you know, and I think this will be a really good starting point for that.
What did y'all think about his comments at the very end of this little article with regards to the Daredevil Born Again series? Noting that he kind of likened it to X-Men 97, talking about how the universe is different than what it is. These characters have matured. The universe is different than it was. Things have changed. Society's changed. Matt and Wilson have changed. And their characters are going to collide in ways we've never seen before. It's no longer enough to try and murder each other. There's a whole game of politics at play. I just found that very telling, very interesting, sort of. Is he warning us that this is going to be a little more filled with intrigue and not a ton of action?
It's always a slippery slope when you involve politics, right?
It's true. That's why we don't talk about it in dinner.
Yeah, it is. But like, you know, we already know that they basically scrapped all the plans for Born Again once. And now you think that they got rid of that. And now this is the way their direction they're going. So,
Well, we know Mayor Fisk is going to be a thing, right?
Right.
Like, right. Based on the end of Echo, Mayor Fisk is happening.
Right. But I mean, for those of you, and I haven't seen it, and it's another show that I needed to watch, the Daredevil series on Netflix. You know, how big of a departure is this going to be from, because I understand in that show, it was all about trying to murder each other. And he's basically saying this is different.
It was brutally violent. Yes.
This first season is going to be just Matt Murdock trying to pass a bill through Congress, you know, to have
while a little animated constitution sings to him.
Mr. Yes. Murdock goes to Washington.
How does a bill become a law? other thoughts on this interview, this article. I like feeling optimistic about Marvel series and some of these animated series and stuff too, just given where Marvel Animation was back in the day. We're getting another Spider-Man cartoon at some point too.
That. And Spider-Verse Part 2 is still out.
Well, that's in Sony development hell. Different team.
That's true. They're too busy working on the next Madam Web, so.
They are working on Kraven the Hunter, sir.
Like I said, the next Madam Web.
You know what? It's funny. I'm glad they didn't try to do the whole Morbin time thing when Madam Web like led Netflix in streams like a couple weeks ago. Like, I think it was more of a morbid curiosity thing from fans than anything to see what the deal was. But it did make their top of the chart like streams a couple weeks ago.
The best thing they could do would be sell that movie to Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Dude, I would so be there for that.
We could do our own.
We could.
Yeah, the Thunderdome here. We can watch it down here. Let's do it.
I might go to Wisconsin, guys.
Listen, there's movies you can share, watch, streaming. I mean, this could be something. True. This is something we could offer.
Tony, let me ask you. You sit around all day and think of new podcast ideas, don't you?
He's looking for ways to take up more of our time. I'm hearing.
That literally just came up in conversation, Dave. That's how my brain works. Like, I don't have to take a chisel inside my eye to make things happen. Well, I mean, organic.
It might help slow that thought process. It's going to throw that out there.
I am never going to stop.
I have a question for you, Pat, before we move on to the last section. This wasn't in the rundown, but I was curious your thoughts on this. Are you concerned with the second season of Sandman with the allegations levied against Neil Gaiman?
100%. I'm worried about Sandman and Dead Boy Detective Agency. Like, you know, of course he's come out. So for those who don't know, two very young women have come forward, 18 and 22 were their ages at the time of these incidents. Women that were hired, I believe, as nannies for his children, that he made unwanted sexual advances on them. Now, it is also important to note that part of one of the relationships, at least on some level, consensual before moving into not consensual. So it'll be interesting to see how those murky waters are navigated. But that is, that's not good for Sandman. That's not good for Dead Boy Detective Agency. Like, just
they doing another Good Omens, or was, you know?
I don't know if Good Omens was going to get a season 3, but I'm glad it got its season 2 out before this all dropped. So, and I thought about putting the Neil Gaiman story on the rundown, and then really, you know, just given what are we going to say about it? Like, that we haven't already talked about it. We've had this conversation with so many folks.
I was just curious as your thoughts.
I think both shows are in real trouble.
Because you and I really liked the Sandman show, the season one. We really enjoyed
Sandman
that.
Sandman season one was great. Yeah. It was terrific. It was like the beauty of his conversation with Death. And it's one of my favorite issues in the comic book run. To see that play out on the screen was just phenomenal. And it was great television.
Aren't they fairly far along in getting season 2 going? Or I don't remember, but I thought they were. But
yes,
maybe not.
There's a lot. Yeah. It had been well into production, so it stinks that this is where we are. And we'll find out if we will be watching a season 2 of Sandman. But what I am going to ask is not about what you're watching in the future. What are we watching right now? And Dave, since you started this conversation and asking about Neil Gaiman, why don't you tell everybody what you're watching this week?
I had a very strange week of watching stuff, actually. I caught the back end of Axel F. I need to go back and watch the beginning of it because my wife was watching it and I came in halfway through and it looked really good from what I saw. And then like she put on like a movie that I've never seen before, but I sat there and watched it called Rim of the World. I don't know if you've seen this. It's about these kids, not that kind of rim, Tony. It's about these kids at a adventure camp called Rim of the World. And there's an alien invasion that takes place while it's going on. And this is just a funny movie. The kid from 8-Bit Christmas, the one who's trying to get the Nintendo, he's in this. And this is 2019.
Okay, it is about Rim of the World. Neil Patrick Harris, right?
No, it's not Neil Patrick Harris. The kid, not the, when he, never, Tony, you know, what's your safe word? That's all I want to know. But
Zendaya.
So I watched that. I started watching Monarch Legacy of Monsters, which I thought after one episode is very good. And then I, you know, you guys all know me very well, so you know I'm into anything paranormal. So I finished Files of the Unexplained, watched a very interesting documentary about near-death experience called After Death. That was really good, kind of eye-opening. And then I've been watching the TMZ UFO Revolution series, which will definitely make you think. When you put TMZ behind this investigative stuff, it's like, ooh, okay, there's something to really pay attention to here. So yeah, that's kind of the rabbit hole I've been going down this weekend, or this week.
DP, can we agree, Tony, to not talk about Beverly Hills Cop until like we're both done by the end?
I will let you bring up Beverly Hills Cop last.
Fair enough. DP.
Haven't watched that yet. So, but I've been watching Keeping Up with the Acolyte. Watched season 2 of The Big Door Prize on Apple, which is a fantastic show if you haven't watched that. Killing Eve. It's a couple years old, but just got into that. Watched a couple seasons. That's really good. And then the Dillinator and I caught a weird movie as well. It's called Leave the World Behind. That was last year. Interesting idea, but just too damn slow. Like they didn't get, I wanted it to go further. Tell me more. Like I like the idea of the whole cyber attack happens and you're out away from everybody and you have no idea what the hell is going on in the city kind of thing and wondering what the fuck's happening. Interesting idea and story, but just they needed to get me further. It wasn't enough for me, but that's what I've been watching.
House of the Dragon with another great episode, right, Dave? Yeah, I mean,
yes, absolutely.
Maybe next season I'll get Dave finally to do a House of the Dragon podcast with me. I pre-ordered Madden and NCAA 25 Deluxe Edition. If you do them bundled, you get it for $149.99. That's pretty good. That saves you $50. Wimbledon's been amazing. Lulu Sun just advanced to the quarterfinals. First New Zealand woman to ever advance to the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. Euro 2024 has been awesome soccer-wise. They're into the semis. Here's a game show for you guys. I'm not sure what network it's on, but it's on Amazon streaming days after. The 1% Club with Patton Oswalt is excellent. Very fun. Very fun. And, of course, I watched something that Patrick and I and Dave caught the back end of.
Yes, indeed. The
Acolyte sucks. Sorry.
Yeah, I really did not like this week's episode of the Acolyte.
I'm only watching now to finish it. That's bad.
Right, I'm seeing it through.
I apologize.
Okay, so I've continued to watch. I'm almost done with Dark Matter on Apple TV. That show has just gotten better and better as I've gone along. Really can't wait to finish it. And just a whole interesting, unique take on parallel universes and alternate dimensions and that sort of thing. So great. Fourth of July weekend, this weekend basically I took Friday off to kind of give me the same thing. But every Fourth of July, I will go back and remember the time that Benny the Jet Rodriguez got us all out of the biggest pickle we've ever been in. So of course you had to rewatch The Sandlot. Love that movie. Really?
I thought you were going to say Independence Day.
Well, that too.
No, I do not watch Independence Day. I do not welcome people to Earth. The other thing I love about the Sci-Fi Network is that they do a Twilight Zone marathon. I love old school Twilight Zone. Watched a lot of Twilight, old school Twilight Zone episodes. And this marathon for the 4th of July, they actually had some kind of deep cut episodes, not the ones that they typically put on, like that are the super famous ones with like Burgess Meredith or Jack Klugman and people like that. So good stuff there. And then I too watched The Acolyte and it was bad. And then I watched Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F. And probably the second best, depending on how you feel about Beverly Hills Cop 2. Like, yeah, you know, I could see people going either direction, but much more so than the Coming to America sequel. This one I felt did a much better job of just capturing the spirit of the original Beverly Hills Cop franchise films, told a much better story. I do appreciate this Eddie Murphy fatherhood phase that he's in now, where like a lot of movies he's making are about him reconciling or connecting with his adult children. And that's a big theme within this one. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in this movie. He's very, very good as well. And I loved that we got Taggart and Rosewood back for this movie, and that Taggart was actually more active in the movie than Rosewood was. Spoiler alert. And I loved that element. Like, I thought that was so great. I really enjoyed Kevin Bacon was great as in his role as well. And of course, Bronson Pinchot, reviving Serge. I really enjoyed it. I think Tony did. I'll let him
speak. Acwell. Moment of the movie for me was great. Love Bronson Pinchot. He's like the perfect stranger. I love the fact that Kevin Bacon was the excellent villain in this. He did a great job.
No.
You say it right. Kevin Bacon. The
legendary
Kevin Bacon. And then Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Kevin Bacon being added to this movie is what made the movie. Because you had two legitimate A-list actors who can actually fucking act and went out and actually fucking acted, because I'm sure they had appreciation for what this series was. And you're damn right. And if Chris or Ray or Rob or Kenny were here, they would tell you Eddie Murphy delivered. You want to know why? Because black don't crack, motherfuckers. Dude looks fucking good.
I love the and we got a special appearance by Shooter McGavin. Like, yes, that cameo, I saw that part. Fucking blew
he looked
my mind.
Bad. He did not look good. He's old. It made me worried for what we're.
Oh, I'm not at all
anticipating.
Worried.
Well,
you realize that guy, you realize how old he is? You realize
yeah,
he's in his
I get
70s,
it.
Right?
He's going to look like that whole movie? Ugh.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. And then, of course, I'm always reading. I always tell you guys about books I'm reading, too. I just picked up a book from my local library titled Perfect Eloquence, An Appreciation of Vin Scully. So Vin Scully never allowed anybody to write a biography about him, and he never wrote his own memoirs or autobiography because he was never thought anybody would be interested or would want to do that. And so this author, Tom Hoffarth, he went out and he collected stories from others about Vin Scully and their impact on his life, divided it up into 9 innings and categorized them. And it's, you know, people from within the Dodgers organization, you know, obviously people like Steve Garvey and Sandy Koufax. He's not with us anymore. Is Sandy Koufax still with us? He passed away, right? I can't remember. Vin Scully passed away in like 2022, so it hasn't been that long ago. But the author was able to collect 67 essays, and everybody from, you know, like I said, people within the Dodgers organization to people like Bryan Cranston providing Vin Scully stories. So it's been a really good read. It's been really fun so far. I'm about a third of the way through. I'm in the third inning, in fact. So good book so far. It just came out, too. It's a 2024 book, Perfect Eloquence and Appreciation of Vin Scully. Check it out. All right, folks, this has been another fun edition of Bandwagon Nerds. It's time for us to head on out of here. But before we do, as always, we need to remind you all where you can find us out there on the interwebs and on the Chair Shot Radio Network. This week, we will start with the scientist.
My safe word is Spumoni, and you can follow that all over the worldwide social media interwebs, and it's me, DPP. Also, listen to me on the DWI podcast at PodcastDWI and Facebook.com/DWI podcast.
David Ungar.
I'm not going to give away my safe word in public. It's just too risky. But you can follow me on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression. All one word on Instagram and Threads.
PC Tunney, are you there?
Yeah, you can follow me at PC Tunney. Make sure you check out everything Chair Shot Radio Network on all of your favorite streaming platforms and ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot.
And you can, of course, follow me on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and sometimes Wednesdays on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Mondays, talking nerdy stuff, all of those things with this cast of characters. Tuesdays, currently talking music with one David Ungar. Second plug for the return of Musical Chairs. Good episode, too. Very disparate bands that we talked about today.
Come on.
Disparate bands, very good stuff. And on Wednesdays, when we're not otherwise occupied, Greg DeMarco and I may grace you with our Wednesday presence talking wrestling on the Greg DeMarco Show. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Now make sure you get yourself out of the basement, get some sun. Don't forget your safe word. Your life will be better for it. Bandwagon Nerds. Signing out on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Let's see, how do you hurt a billionaire? How about 40 million to Elizabeth Warren's super PAC? How's that sound?
No, fuck you, I'll kill you.
And 65 million to the Innocence Project.
Whore, you skunk pussy bitch. I'll fucking make you hurt, I swear to fucking God. Fuck you. Fuck.
Ready to talk?
Eat shit!
100 million to Black Lives Matter.
No, not those people! Fuck you! Fuck you! No, no, wait! Oh, they made me a deal, okay?
What deal?
They'll fucking murder me. No, they'll fucking murder me.
Do it.
No, please, please, please. To use my prisons. My prisons. Homelander and Sage, they need places across the country to put their dissidents. Look, I don't know anything else. Okay? That's all.
He's talking about internment camps.